You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I mean, this is, you talk about outrage. I'm insulted, offended, appalled by what we heard. It should be a celebration, but unfortunately, somebody had to ruin it with some post-game commentary. We will get into all of the controversy coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. It is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, no.
I'm Jonas Knox.
The drama.
He's LeVar Arrington.
The dramatics.
That guy over there is Brady Quinn.
What up,
though?
You can hang out with
us, Brady, always
on the iHeartRadio app and wherever you are, making us a part of your Monday morning. Happy Labor Day to you and yours. We're going to take you all the way up until noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific. And LeVar, before we just go ahead and all have a fun discussion here and make light of a controversy that shouldn't be a controversy, let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. Here we go. It's celebration time. Let's get it out of the way. There you go, Brady.
There you go.
We're going to get them all fired up, that Brady Quinn. Come on, Brady, I mean, no Quinn.
You've got to play both the Notre Dame and Penn State fight song.
It's all good. We'll let you have this moment.
Yeah, come on, Brady.
That was a big win for
you
guys.
Big time.
I don't know about a big win.
Right.
Huge.
I think it was, if you're going to have a game like that,
massive,
it's best to come out on top,
which they did. Win.
Well, so, it was a bigger loss for Florida State than it was a big win for number 9 ranked Notre Dame. Yeah. I mean,
right.
But
rankings at this point, I mean, you can throw them out the window. Outside of Alabama. Outside of Alabama, who should be number 1 by far and away right now based on how they looked.
Hey, but what's crazy is Florida State actually looked like Florida State last night. I mean, I got to be honest with you.
What do you mean with the missed field goal?
Yes. Yes, they was good. They were good enough for a missed field goal to matter. I mean, if you really think about it, they pushed it wide left. It usually, historically, it was wide right.
What was it, 3 straight times?
Which I thought was very peculiar that they did not even set it up or high. They were so busy talking about Buddy's leg and his leg and his knee.
Yeah.
They talked about it for the entire time he was in the game. The entire time. Not what plays he made, not what it meant to the game or whatever. It's just all about the kid's leg. I thought it was going to be interesting for them to parallel that moment of the game to all of the – like those – you're talking about Notre Dame kept Florida State from winning a national title off of some of these missed kicks, right? And they didn't say anything about it.
And the Miami-Florida State games were always wide right, wide left. It always seems like it came down to it.
But that was Notre Dame. Like, there's a famous moment in time where Florida State misses and loses to Notre Dame.
So they wanted to talk about Mackenzie Melton's, return to action. I mean, that's a big moment, LeVar. I don't know why you're so heartless about it. Why do you have to be so heartless?
We need to execute those people.
Who did not put it.
Wait, there was a lack of execution on that moment. It was a missed moment.
No!
They needed to execute the people that didn't do it.
Can I be honest with you about that quote?
Yes.
I was more offended by the fact that Coach Kelly used a quote from a USC head coach than I was with what he said. Like, that was more offensive. I heard they didn't even take the plane back. They didn't need to, apparently, after the game.
Yeah.
There's no one to take back to South Bend.
A lot of leg room, you know?
Is this the world we live in now?
It's crazy, man.
I mean, I understand we're all soft. Everyone's offended. But come on. Like, if you don't know history, you don't know the background of it, go educate yourself, you know? Go educate. And I think for most Notre Dame fans, their perspective is we were up 18. We were up 18. Florida State did nothing to come back into that football game. I hate to rain on their parade. There was a lack of execution. There was a lack of defensive play call. LeVar, I know you watched the game.
I did.
There had to have been a point where Florida State continually ran the ball down their throat, and you're looking at Notre Dame playing with a 5-man box, 5 men around the line of scrimmage to stop the run. Well, obviously, they're going to run the football down your throat if that's your defensive game plan by Marcus Freeman. So there was a lot of reasons I think you could look at that game and say Notre Dame gave a lot of that away. The Michael Mayer drops early on a third down, late in the game too, where it would have put them in position to end it in regulation. There was a lot of things I think you could look at and go, there's instances where Notre Dame could have put that away, and they didn't. The fact that Florida State hung in there, credit to them, credit to Mike Norvell. But I think both sides are looking at that film today, probably pretty disappointed in some of the execution.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Out of everything that I didn't remember from that game, Kyle Hamilton is a name that I will remember from that name from that game. I haven't seen a guy, and I love doing this because people get so upset when I do it. It was Sean Taylor-esque.
Yeah.
To go from one, like, if you understand football, for a kid to have the savvy, the awareness, the understanding, and then the athleticism and the ability to do what that kid did on that play where he was on the opposite hash.
He was the opposite safety in quarters.
He was playing the opposite hash, read the quarterback all the way through, turned the jets on because the quarterback was committed to doing what he was going to do, and got a pick on the opposite sideline. And then took his helmet off. It was so Jewish. It was so Jewish. It was as Jewish as it gets. And it was in a Notre Dame uniform. But let me tell you something. That kid is a guy. He is a guy. I was so impressed with him, man.
Yeah.
He just kept showing up.
Well, and he has since he got to Notre Dame. I remember seeing him a couple years ago as a freshman. And I told people then, I said, he's gone.
Sheesh.
Enjoy him while you got him, because he's gone in 3 years. He's got those natural ball instincts. And that's the funny thing, is that particular play, he bailed out the cornerback on that side of the field.
Yes, he did, because he undercut it.
Yeah, and it usually never happens. Like, it never happens where the backside safety is running across the field. Like, maybe the safety on that side of the field, because he's got his quarters deep, you know, this deep quadrant of the field. You never see that. So the way he played, honestly, I think kind of bailed out Marcus Freeman at times.
Oof.
You know, it really did, if you look at that debut for Notre Dame's defense, which I think if you look at their old defensive coordinator, Clark Lee, went to Vanderbilt. They just lost to East Tennessee State, I think. So maybe he wishes he could come back at this point in time. But I just, that game as a Notre Dame fan, as much as you're happy to come away with a win, and there's some things to build off of. Clearly, Jack Cohn, the way he played, the downfield passing game. What about Kevin Austin? What about some of these receivers they've got now that they can stretch the field vertically? There's something to be said about that. But concerns about the O-line going into the game, still coming out of it, defensively, all that. There's a lot of things to work on, I think, for a team that has aspirations to get back to the playoffs.
I just love that they keep giving the ACC that work. Just keep giving them the work. Just, we'll let you in for 1 year. Cool, we're in your championship game, and we beat Clemson last year. And then they open up this year, and they beat Florida State. By the way, the Bobby Bowden fedora on the field, nice touch.
That was awesome.
Now, you mentioned the Brian Kelly comments. So John McKay had a legendary quote years ago. I think this is when he was the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when they were 0-16. They were a winless football team, and John McKay said, they asked him, so what do you think of your team's execution? He said, I'm in favor of it. All right, so one of the great all-time coach lines in history of football. But Brian Kelly afterwards spoke with ABC and tried to give his version of it, but it came out like this.
I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight. I mean, we just didn't execute very well.
Just think,
he just fell in love with trying to play on execute.
And look, but there are going to be people.
He looked into her eyes. And
He was trying to be funny.
He was really trying to like charm her and shoot a shot at her, and it was a bad moment. It was like one of them Joe Namath moments. I want to kiss you.
He was more like looking up at her. Katie George is tall, man.
Yeah, well,
yeah, it was more like looking.
He was all looking up in her eyes, like I just want to kiss you. Kiss you in the face, in the mouth.
I'm not going to go that far. No, I just think we've gotten to a point where, like, you can't try to be funny. You really can't, because everyone gets offended by something. Like, I think in that instance, you just give credit to the opponent, and then you compliment Mackenzie Milton. You know, they knew what he was overcoming to come into that game, and they knew that, like, that was going to be something that, you know, even the opposing coach should acknowledge, you know, what he overcame to give himself an opportunity to play and then jump into that game in that spot and play well. Like, I think the interesting thing moving forward for Florida State is, if you win the game, the decision next week for who your quarterback's going to be versus Jacksonville State. No. If Florida State won, I think it's easy.
Oh, you go with McKenzie Milton. With McKenzie, yeah.
Yeah, but because they lost, now I think you have to look back and go, all right, I mean, Jordan Travis did help get us back.
He had us
back
in the game, yeah.
And McKenzie Milton helped as well, but regardless, whoever starts next week, you know they're going to ball. Yeah. Like, they're playing against a lesser opponent.
Right.
You know they're going to play well. So it's almost like whatever decision they make, they're going to have to ride that out for a little while because of who their opponent is and I think how good that guy is going to look. So I just think that would have been more of the, you know, give credit, storyline, everything else to a team that, look, played them tough, and maybe the spirit of Bobby Bowden was there. You know, it's funny. My mom hit me up before the game. I completely forgot about this because we had talked about Bobby Bowden before. We played him my freshman year. And we got absolutely drummed back in 2003. They came to South Bend.
What happened?
Crothonzo Thorpe, I think, set a single game record for like receiving yards against us. One of the Bulwares was doing like those backflip things you linebackers do. I'll never forget in blitz pickup, one of our running backs, I think it was Ryan Grant, he went to take on a linebacker and the dude just jumped over him. Like, I was like, I'd never seen anything like that before. Mm. But after the game,
I'm going to send you some of my film.
Yeah, there you go.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, those Penn State linebackers weren't the same when I played them, buddy. They weren't the same.
No, you're right. You are right.
But Bobby Bowden sent me a letter. He had a handwritten letter and just kind of told me to keep my head up, keep working hard.
That's awesome.
You know, he could kind of see the, you know, the greatness and all that. So it was just cool to be able to. Like, my mom helped me relive that. She's the one who kept that note. I completely forgot about it. And so, like, before the game, she called me and just we had a quick conversation. She was kind of reading through it. And she was like, you know, what a special man to be able to recognize that in another player on another team. Granted, they won, so it's kind of probably easy to write that letter. But that's what I think should have been the conversation after the game, at least for Coach Kelly.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a great take on it. And, you know, for what it's worth, we could break down the X's and O's. We could talk about aspirations and what's to come and what they need to work on. But all in all, that was a win. That was a tremendous win for college football, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that, let me tell you something. On a holiday evening where you get to hang out and do different things. I mean, my house is all over the place, right? Like, everybody started in front of the TV watching football. Next thing you know, you got people out on the back playing Monopoly. You got people over here playing, you know, video games. You got people over here, you know, eating food. Yeah, I got that many people in my house.
Thanks for the invite. You hear that, Brady?
Yeah, no
had a nice rager. We weren't there.
It's a little harder for me to get there.
Just pair up with me.
I did some really, really nice chicken. I made some nice chicken. I baked it first, and then, you know, I honey barbecued it up with my special honey barbecue mixture, and then I let it sit in the refrigerator for about 25 minutes, and then I grilled it up, and I put it on some rice, so it was like it was really good. But I digress. The point of the matter is that there were so many different things that could have took place after you had an entire slate of games that were exciting. That Georgia game, Georgia-Clemson game, exciting. There were so many exciting football games that had taken place, you know, the day before heading into a Sunday game. And you get inundated with thinking that, oh, there's no NFL on. You know, like, I'll find something else simple to do, da-da-da, blah-za-blah. Couple games, come on, you're watching this game, and you watched all four quarters.
Yeah.
And that's why you even had the chance to even get upset at hearing Chip Kelly.
No, jeez.
The hair coach Kelly. He's not upset at all. But to even hear those quotes to begin with, like, let's take a step back and let's just look at the fact that Florida State and Notre Dame being in a competitive game in a primetime slot delivered.
Yes.
It was a delivery.
I mean, it would have been nice if it would have delivered, you know, -7.5. That would have been
it
sweet.
Always comes back to betting with
you. Yeah, that would have been sweet, wouldn't it?
That's the frustration for all those who laid the 7 points or 7.5, depending on where you were.
God forbid.
Is when they were up 18.
Yeah.
God you were forbid. Beside yourself with the defense, with just, I mean, it was just.
Listen, I understand the humidity. Michael Mayer looked like his pants were no longer gold. gold. Like it looked like.
Well, that's one of those days where you could just go ahead and let it go. Like if you had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, 100%.
You can 100%. Let it go and no one's gonna know.
Like,
that's the secret. That's the secret, LeVar. Mm. Like a lot of those guys when they were out there in those gold pants, baby, they just let it go.
Yeah, that's LeVar, man.
That's why you go to Notre Dame, not for the helmets, not for the tradition.
Hold on,
to be able to just let it go during the game.
Let it go, man.
It's safe.
Hey, so let me ask you this, because I had a number of bets out. If you and me are betting between Penn State and Notre Dame playing one another, obviously one side's going to be favored. Are you betting straight up or are you giving points?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because a bunch of these Florida State guys were like, no, I want the points. I was like, so you're willing.
No, I would bet straight up. Anytime I would bet anybody. Like, oh, you're talking like if we're boys and we're betting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm betting straight up. I'm not giving you no points. Because, like, that to give points is to qualify that we're better or you're better and I want the points. Yeah. Like, nah, I'm betting you. Like, we're going to beat you. Like, we're going to win.
So Brian McFadden, Danny Cannell, both Florida State alums, we had separate bets, and they both wanted points. And I'm like, man, that really sits well with you? Like, you winning a bet even though your team lost?
Yeah, that's no good.
So we had two separate bets. There was a bet on the point spread, then there was a bet straight up. And so the bet straight up is those guys have to wear my jersey doing some TV hits coming up here in the next week or so. So I got to find a way of getting my jersey to both of them, but we'll figure it out.
It is the Dan Patrick Show. LeVar Arrington, hey. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. But coming up next, let's not bury the lead here. This is one of the great moments in recent sports history. We are going to get into all of that for you. It's next here on The Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
It's the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox in for Dan and the Danettes. We're coming up here in just a couple of moments. We are going to get into one of the great moments in recent sports history. So that'll be happening here momentarily on Fox Sports Radio. By the way, the compact GLA proves it's not the size of the SUV in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the SUV.
Yeah.
Learn more about the nimble and ready for anything Mercedes-Benz vehicle at mbusa.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Let me get one.
Yeah, I mean, listen. I don't think that's too much to ask. Why not? I mean, come on. You know, on that drive.
We've done the show twice.
Yeah, why not?
Let me hold one for promotional purposes.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, we gave Brady Quinn some love with Notre Dame's fight song.
Mm-hmm.
This is I don't know if we've got any Penn State love here. If we've gotten anybody that wants to celebrate LeVar Arrington is now disrobing in the studio. He is showing off his Penn State Nittany Lion tattoo.
Baby.
The tattoo is rolling. He's got he's got the number 11 tattooed on his back as well
sticks.
Here we go.
There it is.
It really is. He's disrobing, folks. Oh my God. This man is an Adonis. Step right up. Who wants a piece of sticks? And he is no shirt in the studio.
Yeah.
Just jacked.
Yes.
My God. Apparently Fox Sports Radio doesn't test.
Yes.
Good. Somebody's on the gas.
Can I put my shirt back
on?
Yes,
you can.
By the way,
you got shot glasses on your chest.
It's a little cold.
It is a little cold. Yeah. He's got shot glasses
on
his chest, Brady.
Hold on, let me take my headphones off so I can put my shirt back on.
So I got to tell you something. Brady, you were there. Wisconsin Penn State was one of the best college football games I've seen in a long time. And I'm not saying that as hyperbole. Everything, the atmosphere, the style of play, the teams, all of it, I thought it was fantastic from start to finish. Loved every minute of it.
I definitely loved the atmosphere, the environment. I don't know that I'm coming away looking at that game quite as impressed with how it went. And I think that's only because not that I needed more offense. It was more of looking at the frustration of Wisconsin, how they go about throwing the football, meaning nothing. And LeVar, you could speak to this as a defender. Nothing mirrors one another Mm-hmm. Like they'll run their various run plays, right? And they've got an assortment of, you know, man blocking, gap blocking, zone blocking schemes, but they never have anything other than a boot off of it.
Yeah.
So as a defender, you're seeing certain personnel groups, certain formations,
and you know what to expect.
You know what to expect because there's no play action off of that. And then when they want to throw, it's a predictable down and distance, and they just put them in drop back. And they're asking Graham Mertz to throw to, and really they don't do a good job of spreading the field out to create bigger windows like we saw Penn State do. Now, my frustration with Penn State was the fact that they waited until the second half.
They always wait to open it up. They always wait.
And it made no sense. Like you're watching that first drive out of half going, where was this in the first half?
Join my pain.
That was more of the frustration from it, but dude, that atmosphere, gives me chills thinking about right now. Yeah. This year and the fans, and I think, that played a part in last night's Notre Dame game. They're in Tallahassee. Like, yeah. People forget how big of an impact they make as fans, either helping the home team or trying to obviously stop the away team and make it difficult for them. It definitely played a factor, I think, in that game.
Yeah. And listen, to go into Madison, I looked at it from the standpoint, we could have had more offense. I would have liked for us to have more offense. If you look in the stat book, it really, if you didn't look at the score, you would think that Wisconsin won the ball or won the ball game by looking at the statistical categories. But man, to go into Madison and win in that environment, the first game, that might have been maybe, and I don't want to take away from the amazing effort that took place from Penn State, but that might have been the only week that we would get them in Madison. If we get into week 8 or 7 or 6, they may have those things cleaned up by then, Brady.
Yeah.
You know, like for me, I look at it like this. The more film you get, that's when you know what type of coaching staff you really have, is by their ability to look at those things. Are they diagnosing it the same way we're sitting here talking about it? Are you self-scouting? What are the things that you're in need of doing that are going to make you better moving forward? And the teams that are able to take that information and use it and improve their teams are the teams that you see get better and better as the year goes on. This has been a team that has generally improved as the seasons have gone on in years past, which makes them a scary team in the 10 moving forward. They will give – that might be their only loss in the conference this year, honestly speaking. Yeah. So I'm glad we got them early, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I mean, you could tell, too, like just being down there in the sidelines – The sense of just kind of understanding how big of a matchup that was. Like, if you're looking at the Big Ten West, and maybe even some of the teams outside of just Ohio State who could potentially challenge them or at least make it to the Big Ten championship game, it's Wisconsin and probably Iowa, especially the way they looked.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a huge one right out the gate on the road to be able to get that win. I don't think it can be understated. And let's not forget, too, how last season started for Penn State, 0-5.
Gosh.
I mean, yeah. You almost wonder as a player and maybe even as a coach, and you wonder yourself, if it happens again, you start off 0-1, you're going, oh no, here we go again. It's mm-hmm. the same as last season, but they don't have to worry about that now moving forward.
I mean, just the vibe there, when the build-up for jump around to start the fourth quarter came up, I mean, I don't know what it was like in person, but on television, the way Fox laid out and let the whole scene play itself out, I thought it was whoever the producer was there at Fox that put that together, phenomenal job. He captured everything.
Chuck McDonald, awesome. The producer, does a tremendous job. Him, Rich Dewey, the director, those guys are studs. Obviously, they're in the position they're in for a reason, but you know what was interesting about it, and this kind of went under the radar because it's not as big of a tradition. So they sing "Build Me Up, Buttercup."
Yeah, before they
in
get
the third
into
quarter.
It.
Yeah, so yeah. They sing that, you know, the "Build Me Up, Buttercup" by the Foundations, and honestly, That was like, it almost was like
was
the undercard.
Itself. Right.
Yeah.
That was good by itself.
Like people kind of were looking around, and I looked at Liner and Rob Stone. And I said, dude, I forgot. I've called games there. This is another little tradition that goes under the radar, but like the players on the field were singing it. Guys were dancing to it. Like even both teams, really. And it was just one of those things where you're like, this is cool, man. We got fans back. It feels like things are back to normal in the sports world. And there's nothing like college football. So that moment, I think, actually ramped things up for when Jump Around, when it came time for that.
Bro, my memories of Jump Around are so nightmarish. I mean, I loved it. I loved the fact that it was as dope as it was, but it was not a dope outcome. Like, there was a different type, and all I could do was, like, you know how you have those, like, memories, like, in the back of your head, like, when you fell off of something or you hurt yourself really bad and, like, something that you've seen, it scars you for life, and, like, when it comes, like, something that comes remotely close to it or it's the exact same thing, you freeze up.
Yeah.
I couldn't even enjoy it the way I really wanted to enjoy it as a fan because I froze up, like, when it came on, I was like, oh, God, we're going to get our asses kicked. It's going to happen. And I was frozen. I was like, oh, God. Oh no.
Because that happened. No. Okay, because for people that aren't listening, you've told this story on Fox Sports Radio with us before, how House of Pain came on.
We were dropping the hammer. We were dropping the hammer on Wisconsin. We were beating them so bad. We hit Ron Dane so hard, so early, so often, he just went into the locker room. Like, I'm done for the day. I'm done. Like, I didn't think he was coming back out. On God, I know he came out before this, and he came back into the game. But as recollection would have it, like, you know, selective recollection, when House of Pain came on, he came back into the stadium. And maybe his body physically came back in before House of Pain came on. But his spirit joined the game when House of Pain came. The spirits of those Wisconsin players, it rejoined their physical beings when House of Pain came on, and they hit us harder. And it was like, whoa, 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 it's fourth quarter, dude. Where was this in quarter one, in quarter two or three? What are you doing? Like I'm 20 yards downfield. Like, I'm an All-American. Don't hit me like that. Like, I'm going somewhere with this. Like, don't do this. Don't do this on national television, please. They wore us out after House of Pain came on. Their energy never went down. The stadium, the players, it never went down, bro. It never went down. And so I enjoyed watching it, but I had, like, one of them, like, freeze moments, too, though. Like, please don't let them beat us. Please fight, guys. Please. How about our boy Andrew and what? How you say his name? Ebiketie, number 17 for Penn State?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Ebiketie. They call him AK. I call him AK.
Yeah, AK. He's Nigerian. He actually left the game for a little bit, and then he ended up coming back, but he walked by me. I kid you not.
He's big.
He's huge, and he looks like a grown-ass man. Yeah. I was like, there's no way that kid.
Yeah.
There's no way. I was like, that. Thank God I'm not playing anymore.
Him,
like, I don't remember guys looking like grown-ass men at that age.
Him,
like, he walked by and came back, and I was like, all right, I don't know what they did in the locker room, but he looks like he's ready to roll now. he was limping on his way in. He came back out of that thing absolutely
the
rolling.
The Tortall.
Dude, it was – yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Tortall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Magic Tea. I love me some Tortall. Oh, yeah. I don't even remember. What did I call it before?
You said it was like from heaven.
Yes, yes. Tortall rains down from the heavens. It comes down in the form of a missile jet. Right to the butt.
The Tortall Fairy was in
man,
the locker room.
Bro.
Wow, interesting.
Do you guys know how Jump Around became a tradition?
No.
Now, maybe I've got this wrong, but what I was told
Who cares?
Was,
it's radio. Nobody's going to fact check you.
Fact check.
I think it was the men's swimming team at Wisconsin had snuck into the PA booth, and this is back in, like, what, the early 90s or something like that. And they had played, like, House of Pain. It was, like, all coordinated. But they basically got in there, locked themselves down, and just started playing it in between the third and fourth quarter. And then it just became a tradition every point after that. And I think it was against Purdue, like a Drew Brees Purdue team. And that's when it started. And it was all because of them like breaking into the PA announcer's booth to do this. So kind of funny that it's stuck ever since.
That is crazy. Shouts out to Troy Vincent, by the way. You was talking real bad to me, real mad hit, talking about you could cook better than me. You showing your skewers and all that stuff while I'm on air, and you're talking about what the Badgers were going to do to the Nittany Lions. But we are, baby. I know you're listening, Troy. We are.
I love it, man.
Can I defend the gameplay? All right, I know all these people out there want games in the 40s and 50s. Let me tell you something. It was so nice to have a defensive football game for once. No score going into halftime. 16-10. That's old school football. And for everybody that complained that there wasn't enough offense, look, you had balls thrown downfield. I don't know who the safety for Wisconsin. He had a bad couple plays in a row. I'm not here to call anybody out on the air, but it seemed like he had a bad couple plays in a row. But there were passes downfield. There was some offense in that game. You had your special teams gaffes and whatnot, but I thought the game that is my perfect football for me. I don't need all the fancy stuff. Keep your Big 12 60 point apiece scores. Give me the Big 10 and a 16-10 game to play out on national TV like that all day. I will take it.
I just want it to be entertaining. Like, that was an entertaining game. They they were in scoring position so many times, and they jacked it up. I mean, you had a field goal. You got it blocked by 17, the grown
the
man.
Fumbles.
You had,
fumbles.
I mean, you had fumbles Mertz, on, down in the red zone. They were getting, they were running the ball effectively against us. I mean, they were moving the ball effectively up and down the field and just couldn't get it in. That, to me, is the type – like. I know I don't want them to be able to do that in the first place, right? It's like a great defensive scheme. You can't do it in the first place. But if you do, what's the one thing they tell you, Brady, when you're playing the game, the hardest place to be able to score is in that red zone. Yep. Because everything shrinks. Everything is tighter. It becomes a phone booth type of deal. And it's like, here we go. Who's going to outdo who in the red zone? And Penn State won the red zone game. I was happy because a lot of the conversation I had coming into the year, some of them were not glowing conversations about what our team was going to possibly look like coming into this season.
Just because of last year?
See, well, we had two number one draft picks off of that defense. Yeah. That are not there anymore.
Yeah.
Usually when you know, if you're not Alabama or Clemson or some, usually when you have a team outside of like the most elite teams and they have two number one draft picks or more on a team, you are not going to be as good. You're not going to be very good. That defense looked way better. Now, our offense has got to – they got to do better, and you got to get Johan Dotson involved, and you just got to really, really figure out how you get him the ball. But otherwise, I mean, Noah Kane and all those guys, I think they get going as this season goes. If they can get that offense to launch sooner than later, they really could. This really could be the opportunity. We come close to beating Ohio State. We probably come as close as anybody in the 10 to beating Ohio State. We generally give the game away. We'll be up. Last year, not so much, but the years prior to, we usually give them the best game and have an opportunity to win. This could be a year if they continue to improve. You got to wait and see, but it could be competitive against Ohio State.
Especially the way Ohio State's defense looked. I think my only concern with Penn State, honestly, is it's not even defensively, even though they got run on a little bit. It's their offensive line. Like, that group was the thing
question.
It made me feel like, especially early in the game, Sean Clifford was kind of running for his life. But, the funny thing, by the way, linebacker, you was very present, man. Ellis Brooks, that dude's a stud
he
now.
Is.
He was flying around making
Brandon
plays.
But
the secondary was what was impressive. Jaquan Brisker, play. We talked about Kyle Hamilton's. That was a heads-up play by Brisker, obviously, to get the interception.
You know what school they're out of?
One. What's that?
Lackawanna.
Yeah.
It's like become the pipeline. You know who has a son playing safety at Lackawanna
Who's
right
that?
Now? LeVar
Who's
Arrington.
Oh.
Be on the lookout.
Look
Penn State
you.
And West Virginia go to Lackawanna for transfers
load
all the
up.
Time. But
they load
dude,
up.
Dude, I flew back with Joey Porter Jr. He was on one of my flights back. Or Joey Porter Sr., I should say. What about that story, though? His, you know, his daughter, but the way his son played. His son played outstanding. That whole Tom Rinaldi, because he just joined the crew. That's what he does, man. He combines sports, and then he makes you want to cry.
Yeah.
And I was so thankful they didn't try to come to us on set, because I was all teared up, man, you know, watching that whole thing and thinking, what a neat, neat story. And then getting the chance to see Joey and his wife afterwards and all that, it made it all real.
Every time Tom Rinaldi comes on television, I reach for a beer. Because I'm like, this is going to be a rough one.
You could just, like, the tone of his voice, you just know, all right, I'm gonna feel worse about myself afterwards, but it's going to be really, really good television. Like, there's just something about it.
I'm gonna create, like, a Tom Rinaldi app where I can just have him voice over everything the rest of eternity. Wherever you need Tom Rinaldi to be, I'm going to work with him
that's
on this.
He
just voices over whatever it is. It could be your funeral, your wedding, some very heartfelt story, maybe someone's retirement. It's just you put on the Tom Rinaldi app.
Every time you piss your wife off, just have Tom Rinaldi make the apology, because he can get her to feel bad for you. Like, it's really that's a brilliant idea. Can we copyright that? Let's go ahead and copyright that, the Rinaldi app. You just got Rinaldi'd. All right. It is the Dan Patrick Show. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, though, bad news. It could be really bad news for one team in the NFL as week one approaches. We'll have the latest for you here on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
It's the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here. Coming up, top of next hour, there is a clear leader. There is a clear number one. We will get into all of that here. Pretty amazing, the run that they have been on. Coming up a little over 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar, you look like you lost weight, man. I don't know what it is.
Oh, I definitely did.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
That jump around story had my nerves all over the place.
Yeah, I
man.
Don't know what it was, man. You look light, lean.
Thank you.
Lean and mean.
Thank you.
All right.
You know, they say coffee is a natural diuretic.
That's what they say?
Yes.
Interesting.
Don't go in there. Yeah. No, not for another 5 to 10 minutes.
Very good. Class was all the way through.
I courtesied. Yes,
class
I did.
Personified here on this show. By the way, not good news for the Dallas Cowboys. Week one of the NFL season is here. We're going to have all sorts of fun stuff with that on Fox Sports Radio this week. But not fun stuff for the Dallas Cowboys, as Zach Martin, their stud offensive lineman, is going to be out for the week one opener on Thursday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You've already got Dak Prescott, who, I don't even know what percentage he is, but he's probably not 100% based on how the preseason went. You've already got some questions. Then you're going to go into Raymond James. They're going to raise a banner. It's a big-time matchup to open up the season. And Dak Prescott's one of his top offensive linemen is now out.
Is that what they do in football? Raise banners?
Yeah. Believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
A four-time All-Pro, it's a bit concerning. Yeah, if you don't have one of your best offensive linemen, not only in the ground game to take some of the pressure off of Dak with Zeke Elliott and those guys, but also just protecting Dak in general. I mean, we keep hearing whether it's his lower body or his shoulder, which seems to have been the concern at least throughout training camp and preseason. Well, either way, I don't think you want him running for his life, and I don't think you want him taking any unnecessary hits, especially to start off the season and knowing what he's going up against in a defensive front that, granted, the Kansas City Chiefs' offensive line was banged up, but still, they had dudes running for their life, Patrick Mahomes in particular. So I'm not sure you necessarily want to start off week one after you signed Dak to this huge contract to not have one of your better offensive linemen and not be able to protect him the way you need to. So this puts the Dallas Cowboys offense in kind of a tough spot, in my opinion, compared to where I think you're looking at and where they would have been otherwise.
And just to be clear, it's because he's on the COVID-19 list. I didn't clarify that. He's on the COVID-19 list. Apparently, he is vaccinated. But because of the return-to-play protocols, he will not be back and cleared in time to be a part of this game.
Crazy.
So, yeah.
And listen, I look at it this way. This is more so a hit on the run game, right? It's an interior lineman. It's a guard. It's his right guard. That is significant to Ezekiel Elliott getting going, getting established. They're going to have to figure out how to spread this game out and not play it in a box. I always tell people, I said, it's interesting. There's the phone booth approach, like a mano a mano. You come, we come. We're going to knuckle up, and we're going to see who wins the battle of attrition. Or you spread them out, and you say, you know what? We're not even going to make this thing a thing in this game. We're going to try to keep you off balance. They have the skill players to be able to do just that. Now, with that being said, we did see how it took place in game plan-wise in the Super Bowl. With a team that can spread you out and do a lot of different things, a lot of creativity on the offensive side of the ball. But I got to be honest with you, coming into the season and looking at the way this offensive line is, I guess, the way they're discussing them, to have Lyle back, to help have Tyron back and have them healthy, I think your biggest concern is going to be those guys coming off of the edges for this Tampa Bay Buccaneer team. So if they're able to hold up on the outsides, I think that they should be okay with Dak in the pocket. You know, Sue and those guys on the inside, I'm you know, is Adamikin going to dominate and get through the interior three? I would take a better chance on feeling good about not having Zach as good as he is rather than not have one of those bookend, one of those anchored tackles on the field.
Tampa Bay 2 years in a row has been by far and away the best rush defense in the league.
They've been good.
So you're not going to be able to run the ball. Listen, I'll just say it right now. This is going to be a bloodbath. Mm. All right. This is going to be a massacre on Thursday night. Tampa Bay is going to mutilate the Dallas Cowboys. This isn't even going to be close.
I don't think so.
Come on, man. Like all of this is set up for failure, Brady. This is all set up for failure for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm telling you.
I mean, maybe. I'm not willing to just write off the Cowboys week one.
It's fun.
They've got too much talent. And don't Tom Brady teams typically start off slow? Yeah, yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's the potential for
that. They might not start off slow this year, though.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I don't – this Dallas team is going to be better than what maybe some may think. I'm just being honest. I think they'll be much better on defense. I don't think you've seen what type of defense they're going to be until this week.
How close to 100% is Dak Prescott?
Oh, I don't know.
See, I think. Okay,
yeah, I don't know.
Hey,
Brady, I'm not even jumping into that guy.
Okay,
I don't know about that.
But aren't you guys a little bit skeptical? You're not a little bit skeptical about his health?
I'm concerned. Skeptical is wrong. I'm concerned about if he's as healthy as he needs to be.
Yeah. Well, listen, look, this is going to be – we got another couple hours to play with, and I have it on good authority. Brady will
Does she have a sister?
Brady will. Brady will.
A couple hours.
Jeez.
Where are you?
No. Honey, he's joking. we'll see if we're allowed back for the next 2 hours. It is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio.